Welcome back to Travel and Adventure Radio. I'm your radio tour guide, Michael Dwyer. Joining us now on the telephone, authors Phil and Carol White. The book is Live Your Road Trip Dream. Hey, Carol, Phil, how you doing?
We're great. How are you this morning?
Excellent. Good. Travel for a Year for the Cost of Staying Home, the subtitle. So you're suggesting that folks can just travel for a year without spending any more money than they would if they just stayed home.
We know that that's a fact because that happened to us. When we decided to take our long road trip, we laid out a little bit of a budget, not really knowing exactly what it might cost us. And when we got back and kind of started tallying things up, we realized that we had spent almost exactly the same amount of money, including the cost of our vehicle and everything, that if we had stayed home for a year.
So why do we stay home at all?
I'm not sure about that. That's part of the premise of why we ended up writing this book, was to tell other people what a great opportunity this is.
Now, was there a reason you took your road trip? Was it something you had to do? Was it just something you'd been dreaming about?
Well, it's something that both of us had talked about for a long period of time, but we were working and raising kids and doing all of those kinds of things. So as soon as we both entered retirement, then we started talking about it really seriously. So that was kind of how it came about.
So what did you, you're retired now, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What did you do in your regular lives up until this point where you switched gears?
Well, I was a small business owner. I had a men's retail store, kind of business of apparel. And that, you know, business started to kind of decline with the trend toward casual wear and so forth. And I had a key man that had worked for me for 5 years, and he was in line to buy the store. And when, you know, business started to drop a little bit, that was the perfect time for us to cut a deal. And so I sold him the store, and Carol became retirement eligible from Lucid Technology. She had been in the phone company system for 35 years. So we felt that this was a perfect time while we were still relatively young to go out on the road.
Well, excellent. And it's nice to be able to pass a business on to somebody that you've worked with, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So in your travels, I'm sure you're well-dressed.
Well, I changed. I had to change a little bit there because we could only take a certain amount of clothing on this travel van with us. So that was kind of difficult for me to have to cut down and figure out just exactly what I needed. And we spent about a month doing that, and we kind of kept looking at the closet and saying, okay, I can live without this, I can live without that, because we had a very small little closet we had to do. So that was a little bit of adjustment for me, but it was okay.
It's amazing how much you really don't need.
Exactly.
While you're traveling.
Yeah.
How did you travel? Explain the vehicle you used.
We traveled in a 19-foot Pleasureway van. They're called Class B motorhomes, and Pleasureway and Road Trek are probably the two most common types that you see on the road. And we chose that for a couple of really specific reasons. Neither of us had ever driven anything larger than a station wagon, so we weren't well versed in how to drive or how to pull a rig, you know, like a trailer or anything, and we just couldn't see ourselves driving one of those 40-foot diesel things down the road. So we wanted something that we could have the ultimate flexibility to park anywhere we wanted, take it anywhere we wanted. Two other things became apparent after we got on the road. One was how often it was convenient to be able to park it in just a standard parking space, and two, how easy it was to get it serviced. I mean, you could pull it into any oil change place or Dodge dealer because they're built on just a standard truck chassis.
Just one of those.
You don't
one
have to make the appointments at the RV place, you know, to get them serviced.
Right, it's just like a one-ton pickup frame, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. So really easy to service, easy to use, easy to drive, easy to park, yet it gives you all of your facilities, although a little tight, but it does have it all there for you.
Absolutely. We had a full bathroom. We had a full kitchen. We had a queen-size bed. We had TV, VCR. We had air conditioning. We had everything we needed.
That's more than I have in my home.
Yeah.
And I can't drive my house around.
Right.
So a little planning on packing, planning on the vehicle. You picked everything out. You went on this one-year road trip. Where did you start? Where did you go? Where did you finish?
Well, we kind of planned our trip very loosely, and that's one of the things in the book that I really encourage people to do is not overplan the trip. If you've made a lot of reservations and stuff along the way, you're going to feel like you're being forced to get certain places. We kind of just loosely planned out what states we would be in what months, and maybe a few things in each state that we particularly wanted to see. We did the northern states in the summer. We started in Portland, Oregon. We did the northern states in the summer, New England in the fall, kind of down the eastern seaboard in the winter months. We flew home from Raleigh, North Carolina for the holidays and back, and then kind of worked our way through the southern states in the nice warm winter weather and popped up into the Midwest and back through the Rocky Mountain area and back home. So we kind of tried to plan it to avoid bad weather so that we wouldn't have snow and a lot of that sort of thing. But some people might really like, have that as part of their adventure.
So some basic planning went into it, the northern states in the summer, the southern states in the winter.
Right.
That only makes sense. A little different experience flying home for the holidays, huh?
It was part of our original plan to do that, just so that we could have a little family time. All of our family lives here in the Portland area, so we thought that that would be a good break and a good opportunity to see those little grandkids that grow up too fast. And we did a kind of an interesting thing with the vehicle. Instead of parking it at the airport for 3 weeks while we were home and paying those charges and worrying about whether it would get broken into or not, it needed just some general maintenance sorts of things, like changing the air filters, et cetera. So we put it at a RV place, and they did the service at their convenience while we were gone. We knew it was safe. We didn't have to pay the airport parking, and life was good.
Oh, that's a great way to do it. Because obviously, if you're on the road for a year, you're going to have to do that sort of maintenance with any vehicle.
Right, yeah.
One thing that should be mentioned on the spending the same amount of money, we did lease our house and found some good folks to take care of that. And so that made it a lot easier, financially to do this. And sold both of our cars, and so those payments went away, and those insurance payments went away, as well as for the household expenses. So you can always get a cars to replace the cars you sold. We weren't that attached, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So in other words, that was a big part of why we could do this for the same amount of money.
Well, and I think what you're saying is that in some cases, to do something like this, you've got to be willing to let go of some things. And
right.
And I think that truly travel-minded folks like yourself and the folks tuning in today, to get out there and go for a year on the road, they're going to have to let go of things. That's just their nature.
Mm-hmm. Along that line, a lot of people would say, oh, gee, how could you leave your grandchildren that long? How could you not be there for your class reunions, for somebody's birthday, for all of those sorts of things? But we kind of took the attitude that in the scope of things, a year is really a very small time. And just treating it like we were somebody who lived away from their family. We went home for a trip during the year to see them. We sent presents like you would if you lived away from your family, for birthdays, et cetera. So it is a lot in your mindset about how you think about things.
Well, there's sometimes a year goes by that you haven't even seen somebody, and you go, wow, a year has gone by since I've seen you, yet you're still very attached to them. So this is just a planned stay away, right?
Exactly, yes. And we did a really good job of setting things up so that we could stay in touch with people. I took on the task of learning how to do a website. I'd never done anything like that before, but I found a fairly simple software that could put together a decent-looking website. So anytime people wanted to know where we were, what we were doing, what we were seeing, they could just punch up our website. We had digital pictures of where we were. We had, you know, what I called the random ramblings, which was kind of our journal of what we were doing. We had information about how much we were paying for gas, and I mean, just all kinds of crazy stuff.
Well, and that probably added some decent constructiveness to your trip. It gave you a way to document it yourself.
Right, yes.
We're speaking with authors of Live Your Road Trip Dream, Travel for a Year for the Cost of Staying at Home, both Phil and Carol White, and you guys are obviously a couple and married and now retired and enjoying those so-called golden years that so many look forward to, although I don't think you're quite the golden age. You're just enjoying those years.
That's right. We were both very lucky to be able to leave the everyday work world a little bit early and go do this.
Well, we're retired, but this job of selling these books has become full time.
Oh, so you've just created a new job for yourselves.
We didn't realize that at the time, but we're having a good time with it.
Now, did either one of you have writing experience before the book?
I had done some technical writing in my years with Lucent, and I was in sales and marketing, so I'd done sales presentations and that sort of thing. But as far as writing in the vein of doing book writing, no, neither of us had ever done anything.
Well, I think some of that technical writing skills shows in the book. I think it's as well organized, and it's a manual to getting your road trip going, right?
That's the way we intended it. Was the first part of the book is kind of the how-to. All the details that you might need to think through to make this happen for yourself. And then the second part is just excerpted out of our travel log to give people an idea of what being on the road every day might really be like. What kinds of decisions do you have to make as you go along? What kinds of crazy things can happen to you? Just so people get a flavor for what it would be like.
Well, there's things that you probably don't think about right away, but you probably need to see a dentist or a doctor. You have to get your hair cut. Normal things like that that you maybe do monthly or every 6 months, now you're on the road.
And all of those things can happen on the road. I remember you mentioned haircuts. That was one thing I was particularly concerned about. The same guy had done my hair for years, and we fiddled around with letting it grow and curling it, doing all kinds of crazy things before we left. And when we got out on the road, you know, it really was not that big of a deal. I would come into a town, I'd look around, I'd see somebody that looked like a local with decent hair. I'd say, "Where do you get your hair cut?" That would be the end of it, you know?
Oh, that's weird. I go somewhere different every time to get my hair cut. So I wouldn't know anything about it being tied to somebody. So you learn to break away from something like that.
Right, yes. And that it wasn't really that big a deal.
And it was, but until you learned it wasn't.
Right.
Okay. Interesting. Now, what about pets? Did either one of you have cats or dogs or birds or fish or anything?
We do not. We saw a lot of people on the road traveling with their pets, and certainly the pets seemed to be enjoying it as much as the people did. So, although we didn't have to think about that, it is something a lot of people do.
Well, I can see using or taking a dog along. I think a cat would be a little different situation, but maybe not.
We saw more dogs than cats, but we did see cats. Some.
Well, and you had the ideal situation with somebody taking your home. But if you did have a pet, you could have left the cat there. The cat wouldn't have known the difference as long as its food was there.
Right, yes. And even dogs sometimes you could do that with. And that was one of the things. I have a little section in the book about pets, and that was one of my thoughts, that, you know, lease your pet with your house, so.
Yeah, why not get some money back from that pet?
Right.
What was maybe the strangest or most unusual thing that you came across while on the road that you just hadn't even thought about?
In terms of the actual trip itself?
Yeah, just something that came up or that you came across and that you hadn't planned for or was a complete surprise.
Well, what actually came up with Carol was she broke her ankle. And obviously that wasn't expected. But that was a good, you know, lesson in that she had to, you know, make arrangements as we went through the different states to get checkups, and I think she did that maybe about three or four times, and then she had to call ahead and make appointments with the doctors that were on her insurance plan. So anyway, she was able to do that. Unfortunately, it was a clean break and didn't have to have surgery, and she was cast for about 5 weeks, and then she got into kind of a little walking boot or walking cast thing, and we were off and running. But in the meantime, as soon as she broke that ankle, we got a handicap parking sticker, we got a wheelchair, and so forth, and just kind of made do. And it was probably better that she broke it on the road, because we were just up and going, and she didn't have time to feel sorry for herself, or either did I. We just had to do what we had to do to make it work.
Well, no one can say you don't do your homework and try to present every possibility in your book.
We tried to think of everything, and yet we know that the other people that end up trying to do this trip, they'll have totally different experiences. So it's just a matter of what happens to you and how you handle it along the way.
Well, isn't that the idea of instructional travel, such as a guidebook or a lecture or workshop, or even possibly a radio or television program? The idea is to plant the seeds of how to prepare, how to plan, how to deal with situations, and hope that none of my experiences or none of your experiences are what the listener has or the reader has.
Because then it wouldn't be their trip, it would be our trip. And that's my problem with guidebooks, is somebody else trying to tell you, go here, go there, eat this, eat that, stay here, stay there. That becomes somebody else's idea of an ideal trip. Whereas what we try to do is say, think of the things that you would want to do on a long trip like this. What would be your ideal long travel dream? And go do those things that are of interest to you, not what we did.
Right. I think that's really important. And there's a wide range of those types of guidebooks. And if you can't find a guidebook that gives you a loose enough take on it, there's plenty of travel logs and travel journals, which kind of was what yours falls into partly, much like a travel novel. This is what happened to me, fictional or non-fictional, whether whoever reads it, you know, whatever book, can take this and say, I can go have my own experience now.
They feel confident enough, I think.
Just the fact that somebody else has done something similar, gone down a similar road in a similar vehicle, a similar way, they can now twist the adventure into making it theirs.
And that's what we hope, yes.
Now, this is your first book, Live Your Road Trip Dream. We're talking with Phil and Carol White, authors of the book. Plans for a second book or additional writing?
Well, you never know what the future holds. We didn't know this book was in us, so there could possibly be something else. People have said, gee, would you go do something like this in Canada, or how about going to Europe and doing a similar sort of guide about going to Europe? So you never know.
Well, I think you'll be doing it.
We'll see how long our energy lasts.
Well, yeah, you have to keep working on this book for a while. I'm sure you've got a lot of television and radio appearances. We do.
We've been very fortunate.
Now, are you traveling more now because of the book than you did for the book?
Not really. Obviously, radio and local TV we can do right here. It seems like we're just right now particularly just really busy focusing on making sure that the word gets out and that we, you know, get the book to get some legs, as they say.
Absolutely. I want to remind everybody that the book here, Live Your Road Trip Dream, steps people through the process of getting out and traveling for a year. It has to deal with taking care of all of your bills at home, taking care of your home itself. You guys in particular rented your home out. We've covered pets. Plus, you have all the insurance questions, and I think you guys did the smart thing and just got rid of the cars.
Right. There's no reason to keep those things around.
You had to pay insurance for the motorhome.
Right.
Did you just pay for a year in advance, or did you have to do some bills from the road?
We set as many things as we could up on auto pay or where the company would come and just pull it out of our checking account. My daughter was actually receiving our mail, and during the year she had to act on less than a dozen things, you know, just little miscellaneous bills that would come in, et cetera. So it really worked pretty well just having everything set up on auto pay and just going from there.
Now, did you guys take any hobbies or passions with you on the road that you could then exploit at different places around the country?
Well, the golf clubs. We live on a golf course, here in Wilsonville, which is just 19 miles south of Portland. So we had golf clubs on board, and we played in different golf courses, but that kind of got sidelined a little bit when Carol broke her ankle.
Well, she could drive the cart, right?
Which I did, at least on one occasion, I recall.
But I couldn't sell that all the time. So. And then I'm a big football fan, a big college football fan, and strangely enough, what I like to do is find college stadiums and photograph them and so forth. And we were lucky to go to a couple big games at University of Michigan and what they call the Big House, and also at Ohio State University in Buckeye Stadium. We were able to get into those games. The only reason we were able to get into those games was that with Carol's broken leg, we got the handicap seats. Those are the only ones that were left for those sold out games. So we were kind of lucky and that worked out. And Carol likes to do a lot of photography, so she did a lot of that and had a lot of fun shooting pictures of all the kind of neat things that this country has to offer.
Well, it sounds like both of you have more books inside of you.
I don't know if I could sell the football stadiums. I don't know. I don't think there's a big enough market for that.
Well, maybe you could contribute to a website that does something similar or something like that.
Yeah.
Speaking of websites, do you still have your website up and running? Can people look back and see your journeys?
Yes. If you go to our current website, which is www.roadtripdream.com, there's a link there to our travel website, and that takes you over to the website that we kept all during the year. It has all the stuff still there on it.
So people can actually go back and revisit the whole trip with you from start to finish for that whole year and kind of get an idea of what you had to go through and the fun that you had creating the website and keeping track of your journeys.
Sure, absolutely.
And again, the main website is roadtripdream, all one word, .com. And I imagine that they can order the book there as well?
Absolutely.
And I'm sure the book is available in all of your popular bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Borders, and then all of the websites such as Amazon.com and what have you?
Right. It's on all of those locations. It's also on a couple of big RV websites. One is roadtripamerica.com. and rvbookstore.com.
Now, this book will get people planning and started and give them some experiences that they can then take into their own lives to take their road trip. Is there any other guidebooks or publications that you would recommend the person taking a year off from their lives to travel around the country?
Well, if you're going to take pets, there's a number of good pet-specific books about all the things that you need to think about with that. Our favorite just kind of road trip book is Road Trip USA by Jamie Jensen. He's kind of zany, and he explores a lot of the back roads things and does an excellent job in that book. We also enjoyed Small Town Escapes, which is a National Geographic publication. They've got two or three little towns in every state that are really interesting, neat little town, so we enjoyed that. One of our goals also was to visit every national park while we were on our trip, so we did carry a national parks guide with us.
Minus the ones in Alaska and Hawaii?
Minus the ones in Alaska and Hawaii. We actually have seen the one in Hawaii, and we've seen a couple of the ones in Alaska. So we're probably one of the few people in the country that have seen every national park in the lower 48, plus most of the other ones.
See, there's another book.
There you go.
So that must have been kind of exciting. What did you find most interesting about our national parks from coast to coast?
The wide diversity of them. The National Park Service has done an excellent job of choosing things that are unique around the country. And what was interesting about having that as a goal, we went places that we wouldn't have gone otherwise, and they became some of our favorite parts of the trip. There's a national park off of Key West in Florida, 67 miles off the coast, and we're thinking, gosh, how are we going to get there? But when we got to Key West, we enjoyed that and found an easy way to get out to the park. Big Bend Park is way down in southwest Texas. It takes a long time to drive there, but it was a gorgeous park. So there's a lot of places that we went just in search of these parks that we wouldn't have gone to otherwise.
Absolutely, and I think that's, we've mentioned it already before, is that you have to have some, take some of your hobbies, your passions, some interests with you along the way to kind of wrap into your trip. And I think you've done an excellent job at both doing that and then documenting it with the website and then eventually the book. You've really created a nice experience and memory for yourselves.
We will never again be at a loss for something to talk about. It is a fabulous memory, and we're strong believers that everybody should go do this. It's the most wonderful thing that you can possibly do for yourself.
Now you
there's just a lot to see in you know, our country. I think it gets kind of, you know, short shrift at times, and everybody gets fascinated by Europe and so forth. But I'll tell you, there's just some really wonderful things to see in this country that people ought to get out and do.
Well, that's very true. I mean, I like to travel to meet the locals and the culture, and I guess I tend to think about Europeans and Asians and other people around the world that to give me that local culture, but we really have quite a diversity right here in the United States, don't we?
Absolutely. I was just going to mention that once you've done something like this, when you read something in the news, you can not only identify with the locality, but with the culture of the people there. You begin to understand why we have such a diversity of thought in this country when you go into an area that is different than your own and talk to people and try to understand what makes them tick, whether it's your agricultural areas of the Midwest and the way those people think, or the South, because of their history and culture, the way they think about things are very different than those of us who grew up out here in the West.
But the most heartening thing to me was the fact that how helpful most people were when Carol was on her crutches and that sort of thing. And most folks out there are pretty good folks. I think that there's so much negative that comes out of the press nowadays. You know, some of these good folks just don't get the recognition, but when you spend the time we did talking to them, it's just a nice thing to see.
And let's maybe pick a state. What do you think was the most friendliest state, maybe that you hadn't thought about, that you came across?
Ooh, the friendliest state. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I thought that not necessarily a state so much, but, you know, New York City, we were there, and kind of wandering around, going to different sites and so forth, and we went to NASDAQ, and we went to the Broadway, a couple Broadway productions and that kind of thing. But we were kind of walking around, kind of lost, and it was just amazing how many people were so helpful, because we didn't expect that. You always hear about these cold New Yorkers that are always busy and, and unfriendly and so forth. So that, you know, that was kind of a nice surprise.
So really, it was an expectation that didn't live up to its name.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
Excellent.
Phil's exactly right about that.
And the people in the South are great. They, you know, Southern hospitality is still alive and well. So, you know, we enjoyed that. People were fun and funny. A great sense of humor is down there. So that was, I mean, we kind of heard about that, but just to experience it was, it was a good feeling.
Now, do either one of you have certain dietary concerns, or either one of you vegetarian, where that was a concern?
No.
Mm-mm. The only concern was keeping our weight under control, which is always a challenge for me.
Well, you probably did a lot of walking, so that probably helped.
It did help, definitely.
A lot of sightseeing and stair climbing and things like that.
Walking tours.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Any surprise dishes out there that you came across? Maybe a southern dish or something that you didn't know existed that you thought was wonderful?
I think one of the things that surprised me was in the South, their use of greens. They have so many different ways, and one of the things that really struck me was one restaurant we ate in had fried greens, and it was almost like potato chips. I don't know if it was spinach or what kinds of greens it was, but it was really an interesting thing.
Hmm.
And then I think one thing that Phil really liked, and I can't even remember the state, maybe he can, there was the country brown. Was that in Kentucky?
Oh, yeah.
That sandwich sort of thing. He loved that. It was kind of gravy or, you know, cheese, and it was really good.
Yeah, I think that was in Louisville, yeah.
Louisville, one of my favorite places. I'm there every May.
For the race.
Yes, the Kentucky Derby.
Did
you catch a horse race while you were there?
No, but we did do the tour at Churchill Downs. And
had lunch and had a mint julep. We'd never had a mint julep before.
But they have a whole video kind of presentation at Churchill Downs that we caught, and that was really neat.
Did
you know about the history of the race and the grounds and so forth.
You went to the Derby Museum then?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they have that 360-degree
presentation.
That's fun.
Yeah, that's neat.
And it makes you feel like you're a jockey right there running along with them.
Yeah, it does. They do a great job, yeah.
And that's just one of the many cultural experiences that the folks can find across the country that, you know, maybe you've heard about all your life. Well, get out there and go find these places.
Go find them, absolutely. And many of the places that we ended up going to were things that locals had said, oh, you've got to go here, or you've got to go there, or don't miss this when you get to that part of the country. So even beyond the research that we had done on things that we wanted to see, we had fabulous tips from people around the country. Another thing we always say to do is buy the local newspaper. In 10 minutes, you can get a real sense of the place by just reading the local paper, and a lot of times there'll be coupons for attractions or special festivals going on that you may not have known about, so the local paper's a big help, too.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea, an excellent recommendation, buying the local newspaper. And I bet that's kind of a neat twist of learning about the culture, the different people. I mean, again, we go back to thinking we're all Americans, but it's so diverse.
It's so diverse.
And the concerns that you have out there and the concerns that I have here in Michigan are maybe nowhere near the concerns somebody has in Kansas.
Right.
That shows up in the newspaper.
Totally different.
Wow.
And you know, just open the letters to the editor section and read through those for a few minutes.
Oh, people complaining about their local politicians and things like that?
Yes. One of the experiences that we had along those lines that was interesting, we were in Georgia at the State House the day after, well, actually the day that they changed their state flag. You might recall that in several of those southern states, they still had remnants in their state flags of the Confederate flag.
Right.
And it's been quite a controversy over the years as to how to deal with that. And the governor of Georgia, while we were there, declared a whole new flag and changed that look of the flag to much reduce the importance of the Confederate flag. So that was a whole very interesting thing that we were just right in the middle of.
Well, what I think a lot of people don't realize is that really we're a union of 50 republics.
Right.
And that each state is very different with their policies and rules and laws and how they present things. And, of course, we're all Americans, and people travel so much and change jobs and transfer all the time that I think we forget that where you were born and what state you came from, literally. And it's fun to re-examine that and see how well 50 republics can come together and basically make policy for the whole world, good or bad.
Yes, exactly.
I want to remind everybody, again, that we are speaking with Phil and Carol White. Although, Phil, you're being kind of quiet right now.
That's unusual.
No, as most married men, he probably realized to let the wife talk as much as she wants.
Yeah.
But we're glad we had both of you on the phone here. You both took part in writing the book.
Yes, we did.
And you've put both of your experiences, and it probably adds a nice twist to it for the reader to kind of get two different angles there blended into one. Again, the book is Live Your Road Trip Dream, Travel for a Year for the Cost of Staying at Home. Steps you through it from A to B, A to Z, I guess I should say, and of course then it has some experiences along the way to kind of put people in that mode for the experience. Now, I guess the big question, I'm sure everybody asks you this, will you take a whole year off and do this again?
We probably won't take another year off to do it, but would we do it again? Absolutely. It was the most freeing thing that we have ever done in our lives. Just to be able to get up every morning, not have somebody telling you where you're going to be, what you have to do. We didn't have a calendar for a whole year. We'd wake up, get our cup of coffee, and decide what we were going to do that day. It's like being a little kid again. You can just do anything you want to do. One of the things we did learn, however, is you can't do everything that you want to do, even in a year's time. You have to make choices every single day. But it was the most fabulous experience, and we just really encourage people to consider doing it.
I should break in here and say that Carol did most of the writing for the book, but if you look at parts of the book, she put some of my little ditties in there, and we call them philosophies. And so I think that added kind of an interesting twist to the book, that there were some philosophies in there about my experiences.
Well, that's a great way of doing it, a great way of looking at it. You know, and there's just not enough we can say in an hour to encourage people to travel. I hope that we've done it a little bit, and I hope you guys continue to take maybe littler trips. I mean, do you still have the RV?
We actually did sell the RV a little while ago when we decided to do the book. We knew that we weren't going to be able to do it, at least at this time, so we did go ahead and sell it. But we still are travel enthusiasts. We travel on short getaways almost continually. A lot of them are golf getaways, but we do get out and see things. We do, because of the notorious winter rain in Oregon, we do try to get away to the south for a month or so every year, and we just take our work on the road with us.
Now, that winter rain, does that start in July and end in June?
No. See, that's part of the propaganda that we proffer out here in Oregon.
So you don't get people moving there?
Yes, exactly.
I heard about you guys. How many states did you actually visit in the whole trip?
One of our goals was to visit all of the 48 contiguous states, and we did accomplish that.
You did accomplish it, okay. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. That really is amazing that you were able to do all of that. But you had a year, but still, you know, lots of little nooks and crannies around the corner, and I'm sure you took a different road a lot than you had planned.
Well, we were on the move a lot, you know, and then we would take little breaks for, you know, two or three days and you know, stay in the same place. Like when, you know, we were in Washington, D.C., we stayed outside the city and for a whole week, and then we'd go down and jump on Metro and take that into the city and visit and come back at night. And so that was a nice little change that, you know, we just parked the van for a week there and use Metro, which is a great system.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank both of you for joining us today on Travel and Adventure Radio. Phil and Carol White, authors of Live Your Road Trip Dream. Basically, folks, it's a book about how to take a year off without losing your income. It's adjust your lifestyle. You can rent your home out, adjust your bills, and really go out there at the same cost and travel for a year, experience so many things, and live your road trip dream. We'll give you some ideas of how to do that, how to plan for it. The website, www.roadtripdream.com. That's all one word, roadtripdream.com. And would each of you like to leave one final thought for the listeners today?
I guess my final thought would be, don't let the obstacles that you see to doing something like this intimidate you into not doing it. Everyone has issues that they have to work through to be able to take off. We try to go through many of those in the book to help give you ideas about how you might handle various things. But don't let obstacles stop you from living your dream, whatever that is.
Well, and you know, my final thought was that I thought the thing that was kind of interesting is when there's just the two of you out on the road, it's amazing how good your communication is, because you got nothing else to get in the way to kind of fog it or misinterpret things, because you're in touch, 24/7, and I thought that was really a positive thing that we both came away with.
So do you think your marriage is stronger now?
Oh, definitely.
I imagine there was probably some rough times, because as you know, you both were living very busy lives, and then all of a sudden you retire, and then you're in the same vehicle for a year. That's got to be tough. Sometimes I couldn't deal with a trip to the movies with a girlfriend.
Well, I think we were both really geared up to kind of support each other when you were down or in a bad mood or something like that. I'd go out to a driving range and hit golf balls, or Carol would take off and go to a museum or something, and we kind of worked that out. So
it's important, you think, maybe for couples that do this, is to plan to spend some time apart, because you're going to have to need a break.
Yeah.
Such as playing golf or going shopping or something. Not exactly. Necessarily. You have your own little things in life that you like to do to kind of, and it's not even necessary to get away from something or someone. It's just to kind of put your mind back in sync with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has that, I imagine.
Yeah, kind of balance.
Excellent, excellent. Live your road trip dream. Thank you so much, Phil and Carol White, for joining us today on Travel and Adventure Radio. And please stay in touch. If you guys do another book, and I think you might, we'd love to have you back.
That'd be great. Thanks so much, Michael.
Oh, you're welcome.
It was great.
We're going to take a quick time out here on Travel and Adventure Radio, and we'll be back with more.
Cool.